Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Pressure coming again. It's picked up. Rentler intercepted. Picked off by Nashawn Wright. Across the 40. Wright still on the move. Down the sideline. Nashawn Wright out of bounds. Near the 25 of New Orleans. From the eye, Swift. Cutback. Hops into the end zone. Touchdown, Chicago.
Because what happens when you start to have success running the football in one direction? Well, that defense is going to overreact, and they're going to move. They're going to press here. They're going to press here. They're going to press here, and that guy's going to stretch it and wind it back.
But they followed your recipe to a T, leaning on the ground game to punch it in for six. So it's second and goal. Manungai to the end zone, and there's his first NFL touchdown.
This is really, really good. They timed the motion up well right here. You can feel, you get a block there. But the big one, watch Drew Dahlman, the center, pull out. You know, number one is center pulling. But number two, down on the goal line. A lot of times when you're down on that goal line, guys are just firing straight ahead to get penetration in it. And it's hard if you're a puller when you leave that spot. So that this offensive line is really starting to get into a groove with what Ben Johnson is teaching him in the run game.
Rattler gets away from Sweat. Direct in traffic. Wants to throw downfield. He's got Shaheed out there, and instead it's intercepted by Kevin Byard. His fourth pick of the year. Spencer Rattler saw Rashid Shaheed running free, but he missed him. Byard there to secure it, and the turnover for Chicago. This will end the Saints' 8-game winning streak against the Chicago Bears. As Caleb Williams takes a knee, and the Bears, for the second straight season, are going to start 4-2 in a season, and that's where you probably temper your enthusiasm a little bit if you're a Bears fan, because you saw it last year. You look ahead, though, and there are some winnable opportunities coming up.
And now it's time for Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Now, we will not temper our enthusiasm. Well, if you want to, you can. But we are with you for the next 5 hours. We are the first two. The Bears Monday on 670 The Score. Hi there, everybody. Judson Richards, Grant Leader, along with you. We are here, 312-644-6767. The highlights there from Fox. It sounds pretty good. Most importantly, that four-game winning streak. The Bears improved to 4-2. They're 2-1 now at Soldier Field as they knock off the New Orleans Saints with a final of 26-14 to get that four-game winning streak going. And I know there may have been a time on Sunday, believe it or not, it was yesterday, as it is now 12:03 Central Time. There may have been a moment there where you thought, uh-oh, here we go again. Right. Here we go again. I could not believe that that became a 20-14 game. Like 20-0 felt like 80-0 for a minute, just with how badly the Saints were playing. Maybe more importantly, how great the Bears defense was playing. But it became a 20-14 game. And I was watching the game in my basement and my wife came down and she was doing some laundry and she heard me under my breath say, "Unbelievable." And she said, or maybe it is believable, as someone who grew up in the Chicagoland area could believe that the Bears could cough up a lead like that. But no. It feels different. And I believe that it is different under Ben Johnson. If you remember back to the Las Vegas Raiders game, you had the, I've seen this movie before. I know how this one plays out, but they got the blocked field goal there. And this one, they held on, mainly to do with the running game. It was a 20-14 game in the halftime. They got two field goals in the third and fourth quarter and still managed to get it done. The Bears are 4-2, and our text line, it is open, 312-644-6767, as is the phone lines. And I will ask you, have you had to revise your expectations for the 2025 Bears? And what is the identity of the 2025 Bears? Is this now a running team? Is this now a defensive oriented team? I will say this. If there's one thing that you, if you did any sort of a deep dive on Ben Johnson and his time with the Detroit Lions, you knew that yes, they were a prolific passing offense. But first and foremost, Ben Johnson was going to run the football. Not just to set up the play action pass, but to legitimately establish the run, and the Bears have done that over the last 2 weeks. But let's begin with the lead storyline. We'll cover it all here in our opening segment. Not only what the defense has done, the running game, and then we'll get to Caleb Williams in the passing game. But the storyline of this game, and it only became such a rich storyline because of how well the defense played for him. But this was about defense coordinator Dennis Allen, who was fired last year by the New Orleans Saints. And even when Ben Johnson was the offensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions, Ben had a pretty good idea who was going to become a head coach. And when Dennis Allen was fired, Ben Johnson contacted him. So Ben's had this vision for a while that Dennis Allen would be his defensive coordinator. Didn't know that they'd be with the Bears, perhaps, and didn't know they'd be matching up against the New Orleans Saints, his former team. But Ben Johnson, let's go to the locker room, the celebration speech. He had one game ball. This is how it all went down.
I'm proud of you guys so much. That was a huge week for us, and the reason why we didn't handle the short week well the first go around, so much better this go around. Let me tell you something. Offense, 200 yards on the ground. Holy cow, I got one game ball for right now. We'll have more tomorrow. I have one game ball right now, okay? Already talked about defense, 4 turnovers, okay? Defense, 44 yards on the ground, all right? Defense, 4 sacks. Dennis Allen, come here!
Hey, sometimes the good Lord just has a freaking plan for you that you don't know about.
Yes, sir.
And sometimes you ain't good enough for somewhere else.
Preach.
That's perfectly fine.
Yes, sir.
I love being here. Yes, and I love being with this group of guys.
Yes, sir.
You guys work your damn
ass. Yes, sir.
Right? But 4 ain't enough.
Yeah.
4 ain't enough.
Listen, I know I may be a little bit biased, but it is hard to not think that you are watching something special be built in that locker room. And by the way, it's not just about the W's. You can see this team, especially defensively right now, you can see this team play harder than they did last year. And I don't just mean in the midst of that losing streak. I mean, it is just, it's not that different of a unit. It's not that different of a team, but you can see not only how hard they're playing, but they are being coached up really, really well. TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds virtually have switched spots, right? Tremaine Edmonds was supposed to be a piece for Matt Eberflus. They were getting way more out of Tremaine Edmonds this year than they did last year with the guy that he was brought in for Eberflus. You can see the coaching. You can see that they want to deliver for their coach, and ultimately it is working. And I mean on both sides of the ball, but specifically, 15 takeaways in 4 games, that is phenomenal. That is absolutely phenomenal. But to Dennis Allen, yes, this was a revenge game that we watched, but this was more of, I have an answers to the test game. Like, Dennis Allen had been there for the last decade in New Orleans. Not their head coach, but he was their senior defensive assistant in 2015 when they brought him in. He was the defensive coordinator of the Saints from 2015 to 2021, and then was their head coach from 2022 to 2024 when he was fired midseason. That means for the last decade, Dennis Allen has either been a part of every major decision or be a reason why they made major decisions from draft and free agency. He knew that team inside and out. He put everyone in the right place, and then that defense delivered. If you want to jump in on what you're watching from this Bears team, let's do it. 312-644-6767. Ben Johnson at the podium after the game. Here's what Johnson had to say about Allen's defense.
Dennis downplayed the significance of facing his former team today, but from your perspective, what's your appreciation for 4 turnovers, the defense doing what it did, and Dennis's unit being part of the win?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly led the charge there. We don't win that game if they don't play that well. They just did an outstanding job, and you know, kind of felt that over the course of the week there with the 2 practices that we were able to get in, that schematically he had some really good thoughts that we're going to put some stress there on the offense. And you know, I thought that the defense, they knew where to be, they knew what they were looking for, and it was huge.
You know, financially speaking, you feel like the Bears should be getting more from their defense because they have, I believe, the 5th most expensive defense in all of the NFL. Which, if that's how you want to spend your money, then you just want to make sure that your defense is great. And a big part of that cash being spent is on a guy who's on the IR in Jalen Johnson. But it felt like early on in the season, if you're going to spend all this money, you got to get more out of Montez Sweat. I think Montez may have played his best game of the year today or yesterday. And then Tremaine Edmonds as well. Early on, you weren't seeing it. Yesterday, against the Saints, you absolutely saw it. So you combine your coaching, you combine the players that you paid to be great to showing up and doing it and putting them in the right position, and you can find yourself winning a lot of football games. I don't know how sustainable the takeaways is. Obviously, there's always going to be a team that's best in the league at the end of the year. Can they keep this pace going? Statistically speaking, it's not very likely, but as I just said, they have 15 takeaways in their last 4 games. The question is, can they still win if they don't have it? Because Ben Johnson just said, if the defense doesn't play the way that they did, we don't win this game. But no matter what, it's a major reason why the Bears have won 4 consecutive games and are 4-2. And if the Packers would have lost yesterday, if the Packers would have lost to the Cardinals, I know it should have, could have, would have, but that was a great game, and Jacoby Brissett looked like he was going to give him a chance to win him. The Bears would have been tied for the lead of the NFC North if the Packers would have lost on Sunday, mainly because the Lions, they play tonight in the Monday Night Football game. But, you know, it just gives you an idea how it feels like the tides are turning. And maybe even more importantly, that the NFC North isn't the juggernaut that we saw it be last year with the amount of games that the Lions and the Vikings won. But back to the Bears, let's hear from one of the guys that had one of those interceptions and someone who has been really, really good this year. Here's safety Kevin Byard.
Just playing with a lot of confidence. I said it before, man, the ball has been on our mind. I don't know, Al's some type of character from the Bible, something he's been prophesizing. He said before the game last night, I asked him what's the quote, he said four, and we got four again. So that's just the belief in us, being able to go get it. D.A. obviously put in a position to make those plays, but like you said, it's just special right now. I mean, I'm not going to make it seem like this has happened before. I've ever been a part of that. So we just got to keep it rolling. If that's what we need to do to win games, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, keep it rolling. Four wins, four consecutive wins. Here's a stat for you. I know that the one that the Bears haven't won four in a row since 2018, that's a good one. But how about this one? The Bears have not had a head coach lead them to four wins after starting the season 0-2 since 1947. Some of you may be able to guess who the head coach was then. Goes by the name of George Halas. That was the last to actually start a season 0-2 and then win four in a row. Love listening to the post-game show here on The Score. You know, Molly, Patrick Manley, and of course, Olin Krutz. Here's Olin on this Bears defense.
To your point, Pat, this defense, man, they have been on fire. And really, they weren't stopping a run, but before T.J. Edwards and Kyler Gordon came back, they were getting still the takeaways. They're still getting.
Yes.
I mean, it's unbelievable to watch the pace that they're on. I mean, that Montez Sweat, the secondary, right? That Montez Sweat fumble. He made the secondary made him the quarterback Rattler hold the ball in the pocket. Billings pushes his guy back. He's got to step up, and Montez punches it out. That must have been about 5 seconds after the snap. I mean, that's how good that secondary is covering there on second and four. So. Just really, as a unit, that defense right now, Dennis Allen and all his coaching staff, I mean, that along with just everything you're watching right now, to come back from that, you know, starting 0-2 and go on this run. Really, really impressive run right now by the Chicago Bears and what they're accomplishing.
Yeah, and it seems like everybody in the defense is fulfilling the role. I'm talking about Kevin Byard being that senior leadership back there that he has, the senior player. That was a great shot they showed of him reading Rattler's eyes when he's pointing, you know, go left or whatever. And he sees it. He's like, I'm going to get over there and intercept the ball. But that's what a veteran does. And everybody seems like they're playing their role and they're playing to what they're supposed to be playing as. And Dennis Allen has really got this team. He seems like he knows everybody's skill set now and has them all dialed in.
That was Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley in the postgame show. Jetson Richards here with you on a Bears Monday on 6-7 The Score. You want to join us, please do so. 312-644-6767. The Bears win 26-14 over the New Orleans Saints. The Bears improve to now 4-2 on the season. Let's get to that run game a little bit because, you know, there were two things that you really felt like the Bears needed to work on. And it was very obvious because they were about worst in the league in both of them. And that was stopping the run defensively and then running the ball on offense. And virtually, when you've got good coaches and they say, hey, let's improve, let's take a look at something, let's figure it out. DeAndre Swift in his last 31 carries, that's how many he's had in the last two games, he is averaging 7.1 yards per carry. The Bears, against the Saints, rushed for 222 yards and only allowed 44 rushing yards in the game. Swift went for 19 carries, 124 yards. That's a 6.5 carry average. And it was great to see Kyle Manungai as well. 13 carries, 81 yards, 6.2 average for Manungai, the seventh-round rookie. And both of those guys had touchdowns. The long for DeAndre was 23 yards. The long for Manungai was 24 yards. So you got to also compliment the offense, the offensive line. Great to get Darnell Wright back. You can see that that's clear as day, making them better. And Theo Benedet has ultimately been an upgrade since Braxton Jones. And speaking of the postgame show, Olin did make the point that one of the reasons why the run game has been so good is because of the threat of the passing game. Right, because of Caleb, because of Roman Dunze, because of DJ Moore, because of Olamide Zaccheaus, because of the weapons that they have, the defense was set up in a way that allowed a lot of those run fits to be as successful as they were. And I was one of those that absolutely doubted DeAndre Swift being really your primary, your feature back, and Ben Johnson had confidence in him. Well, as of now, it looks like that reasoning, that plan is working as the Bears establish the run. And the really the last two games have run their way to a victory. Here's DeAndre Swift after the game.
What's been the biggest difference for the running game being so effective now?
I would say we clicking up front, and then the receivers are doing a great job on the perimeter. Heads off to them guys up front, the receivers. I can't say that enough. And then if they do their jobs up front, we get a little bit of space as the backs and everybody in our room. We're going to make something happen after that. So I just feel like we've been doing a better job this week and past week, just clicking on all cylinders on our jobs.
Yeah, there's no better way to say it than is clicking on all cylinders. That's in the passing game, not necessarily that's in the run game, not necessarily the passing game. We'll get to Caleb and what unfolded there in a minute. But again, like, when you looked at what the Detroit Lions did under Ben Johnson, there were two things that were clear as day. One of them was they were going to use their star wide receiver, maybe more unique than any of the 32 teams would ever use their star wide receiver. And that's the way that Ben Johnson utilized Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, he would put him out wide. He'd put him in the slot. He'd use him as a running back. He would ask him to block as a running back. Like that. That's what was so unique, because you don't see a lot of star wide receivers used that way. And I thought we may see a little bit more of creativity with DJ Moore like that, and perhaps that'll be something that Luther Burden will take on that role at some point. And the other thing about Ben Johnson is they were going to run the ball. Like, third and 12, you would see the Lions run the ball. We know Ben's going to be creative and do a lot of things like the stumble, fumble, bumble, but running the football and utilizing Amon-Ra St. Brown any way that he wanted to, that's what we saw in Detroit. And so we wondered, well, how similar would that offense look to this offense? Well, you got to know that he was going to find a way to run the ball. Even when they weren't running it well, they were still running the ball about 43% of the time, which is about middle of the road. So he didn't just abandon the run when it wasn't working. He just kept trying, and it felt like they were just, slamming their head in the wall. Nothing was going to work. Bye week, fix some things, get healthy, make a positional change, and look what you have. Let's hear from Patrick Manley from the postgame show what he thinks of the run game.
Real quick, you know what's nice? Is that we have an offensive genius as a head coach, right, who loves the run game.
Right.
Who's committed to the run game, dressing up the run game, making sure the run game works. I mean, this is a nice thing to be talking about. To talk about, the intricacies of a run game compared to a pass game, and that's how you had to win today. Caleb didn't have his greatest game, but they still dominated. They dominated a line of scrimmage, and a lot of credit goes to Ben Johnson and his offensive staff of dialing up a run game to dominate and win a game.
Yeah, and that's what Ben did in Detroit, right?
Yes.
When he had the number one offensive line in the league, and he had two really good running backs. But I do want us to make this point. The last 2 weeks, the running game is working, is sound, because of the threat of Caleb and the passing game. And they're not great, but just the play calls coming in from the sideline, you see a lot of light boxes, I like to call them. That means you have a guy to block everybody, Pat, right? And when you're watching the game, you're thinking, man, that is a favorable look for a run play, right? And the fact that Ben would call anything at any time, and Caleb has the arm, and Rome Odunze and DJ Moore and those guys can threaten you down the field. The fact that you have that threat, even though it doesn't look like they did great today and the yardages don't look great, the threat of it and the play call from the sideline allows you to run the ball.
So I guess that's what you would consider complementary football, right? Where even though the passing game may have not been at its best like it was yesterday, it still can be a threat because of what you've done throughout the season, right? Like, and as we know, Caleb's athletic ability, his arm strength, the talent that they have from DJ Moore to Rome Odunze down the line, even to Colston Loveland and Luther Burden. We can get to those. We can talk about those guys at some point because I really like both of them. Like, both of them look like they kind of are comfortable even as rookies. I don't think that Ben Johnson has full confidence that they understand the offense completely, so you're not going to see a ton of usage from them. But when they're out there, I thought it's been very good. Let's hear from Ben Johnson quickly on the efficiency of this passing game.
Ben, before seeing the tape, how do you sense that Caleb played just from experience being out there today?
Yeah, hard to say off the cuff. You know, you just go off the numbers we weren't efficient enough in the passing game. So we'll see why that was.
That was Ben Johnson in postgame. We're going to revisit Ben Johnson. We're going to check out his entire 10 minutes, what he had to say after the game, coming up next. I want to talk more about Caleb Williams. I want to hear from Caleb Williams of what he thought of his game. We also want to hear from you, 312-644-6767. If you are on hold, we'll get you in the next segment. We'll take a look at some of these texts as well. But what did you think of the game that Caleb Williams had? We'll dive into that next. The Bears beat the Saints. Bears have won four in a row. We're here to talk about it on 6-7 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
We're back with more Judson Richards on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
So it's second and goal. Menungai to the end zone, and there's his first NFL touchdown.
This is really, really good. They time the motion up well right here. You can feel, you get a block there, but the big one, watch Drew Dolman, the center, pull out. You know, number one is center pulling. But number two, down on the goal line. A lot of times when you're down on that goal line, guys are just firing straight ahead to get penetration in it. And it's hard if you're a puller when you leave that spot. So that this offensive line is really starting to get into a groove with what Ben Johnson is teaching him in the run game.
Congratulations to Kyle Menungai. Gets his first NFL touchdown. Judson Richards here with you on a Monday morning. The Bears are a winner. They beat the Saints 26-14. The Bears have now won four in a row. We're here to talk about it. 312-644-6767. You know what's interesting is if you look at this roster, I don't know what your overall opinion is of how good it is. I would call it a good roster. I wouldn't call it a great roster. But you are... you're watching it improve a little bit, if you will, right? Like, how much did you know about Theo Benedict back in June? Maybe if you watched Hard Knocks, you know what he may look like in a Speedo or whatever he was wearing. But if Theo Benedict becomes a player, if Kyle Menungai becomes a high-performing drafted player for the Bears and not just a seventh-rounder that we thought, now they took a flyer on a guy out of Rutgers, then you're watching not only a roster be coached up, but perhaps a roster that's improving. As Ben Johnson keeps saying, we'll be playing our best football in December. But at least as long as we're, you know, making our way towards December, may as well win. Win and learning on the job and trying to do, get there. We'll talk about Caleb Williams in just a moment, who did not have a great day. He certainly told you that in the post game, and we'll hear from him in a little bit. But let's go out to Mansfield, Texas. Steven is with us on 6-7 The Score. Hey, Steven, what's going on?
Hey, not much. What are you guys up to?
Oh, just talk a little Bears football.
No, fair enough. Same here. You guys worried about the fact that we can't get end zone points?
Yes.
You know, it seems like we always get all the way to the line of the 20, 10, 3, and then just settle for 3. I'm all right with settling for 3. I like points on the board. I'm one of those guys, you know. I don't want to risk the fourth and no points. I'm the guy that wants the 3. But at some point, Caleb has to progress. He has to make those leaps and bounds. And I understand he's young, but I'll let you guys take it.
Steven, thanks for the phone call. I am with you. When we ask you the question, are you changing your expectations for the 2025 season? What does that mean? Well, it means, is this team going to play potentially meaningful games in December? Does it mean they could play meaningful games in January, right? Like, can they be a potential playoff team? And if you want to get to the playoffs, and if you want to beat good teams, I think ultimately that's what we're asking, that if you're changing your perception, you're changing who you think they can beat. And Steven, to your point, you're not beating good to great teams if you're trading 7 points for 3. Like, watching this game, when it was 20 to nothing, it should have been 31 to nothing. It should have been 35 to nothing. Like, they gift-wrapped them an absolute first-half blowout if the offense was not trading field goals for touchdowns and if they were just playing better. The stat to start this game, to give you an idea about the struggles that the Saints have been having defensively, they had allowed back-to-back opening drive touchdowns by their opponents in 4 consecutive games. Four straight games they allowed their opponents to score touchdowns on their first 2 possessions. What did the Bears do on their first possession? 3 plays, 6 yards, a minute 25. That's what the Bears did. And then in their next possession, to Steven's point, after an interception by the Bears, they got the ball back on their own 24-yard line. 24-yard line. And then what happened? Caleb Williams fumbles the snap, and they end up on their 26-yard line. So, yes, getting points, any points is good for takeaways. But when you're playing the New Orleans Saints, coming in, they had lost 9 of their last 10 games. They were ready to be put to bed early. And the Bears offense couldn't do that. Specifically, the passing game could not do that. So if we're going to say, well, hey, this team's 4-2. We gotta rethink who they can be. Well, if you're going to rethink who they can be, you're probably going to need a quarterback who's got a better passing rate or percentage than 61%, because that's where Caleb is right now through 6 games. And he has had some good, he has had some bad, but today I thought he was really bad. And I thought he was really bad out of the jump. That's what disappointed me the most about Caleb Williams' game. What did you think of how he played? 312-644-6767. I am someone who does approach watching Caleb Williams with a lot of patience. Number one, because I respect the hell out of the position. I believe it's the most difficult in sports, besides hitting a baseball. The other being what happened last year. Like, I'm not someone who's forgotten that Caleb Williams ended up with a head coach who was at one point his offensive coordinator, and before that, his passing game coordinator. Like, that was dysfunction, right? So then to have two offensive coordinators in your first 2 years, and for Ben Johnson to ask him to learn a big boy offense. This is not a kid-friendly, this is not a quarterback-friendly kind of offense. This is built to last, built to be a legitimate NFL-winning offense. Old school, new school, and all of the above. So I do approach watching Caleb Williams with some patience. I do believe in him. But I got to tell you, today may have been the most disappointed, yesterday may be the most disappointed I've been watching Caleb Williams since he's put on a Bears uniform. And you know why? He looked disconnected from the game from snap number one. And so if I'm projecting him to be a franchise quarterback, what does a franchise quarterback do? They lead by example, and they also set the tone. They set the tone and the expectation of what you are supposed to do. That's why they are the ones who talk in the huddle, because they are supposed to be the most prepared ones when they take the field. And he just looked kind of out of it. Like, I'm not asking for him to be perfect. I'm asking him to know the details. I'm asking him to handle the snap. He had multiple fumbles on the snap. He had that interception. And I think a lot of the false starts may be on number 18 as well. Those are the things that he has to be great at, the details. I'm not asking him to make every throw. I'm not asking for greatness for four quarters. I'm asking that the little things are automatic for him and everyone else has to fall in line. Let's hear from Caleb Williams after the game. Here's what he had to say about the day that he had, how it wasn't great, and how days like this are needed.
How do you handle the progress being kind of up and down?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's be linear and just progressively steps forward. How do you deal with step forward, step back?
Yep.
Game like today.
Yeah. Days like today, I would say, are needed. Just in the sense of it gives you a little bit more to be able to look back on something and figure out what. And so that's important. And so you have these moments, and then you get later in the season, and, you know, you may start to have one of these moments, and you get to go back to the feeling, go back to, you know, what was wrong and you know, what you need to figure out early in the season. And so now, you know, when we're late in the season, it's like, okay, I remember what it was. I remember, you know, how can I fix it? It's more of a solution-based, thing instead of it being like, you know, what's the issue? And so right now we're going to go back. I'm going to go look at the film. I'm going to figure out, and I am going to figure this out, especially with, you know, some of these explosive plays, some of these, you know, mainly talking about the on-the-run stuff. And I haven't been efficient with those. I haven't been hitting them, and it's frustrating. We're going to figure this out. I'm going to figure it out. When we start hitting on those cylinders, where we start having some of these explosive plays, especially, you know, when the play breaks and it turns into our second play, it's going to be, real devastating to the other side. So we're going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out. And then other than that, it just comes down to the basics, feet, eyes, delivering a good ball to the guys. And then it comes down to, like I said before, communication and make sure everybody's on the same page. And, you know, we're rolling off the ball.
You know, we know that Caleb has virtually every gift you could want there out there on the field. That's why he was the number one overall pick. And he showcased it. And I've been really impressed with him at times. And one of the areas I've been most impressed with Caleb is the way he handles himself at the podium. But we're past the point of him just saying, I played poorly, and then us kind of going, well, way to take the onus of it, and way to put it on your shoulder. So we're past that. You're in your second season. You're heading towards midway in your second season. Now we just need you to be better. Like, now the details need to be cleaned up. Like, the snap that he missed from shotgun, catch the ball. Because those things early on, they set the tone so much. 312-644-6767. Let's go to Dave with us in Richmond. Hey, Dave, what's going on?
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
Hey. Yeah, about Caleb, there's so many things that I think he lacks. You know how our backup quarterback knows the playbook, and he really didn't, or probably still doesn't. How he can't, you know, like you said, he can't handle a snap. I don't think he can audible. You know, every pass that he throws to a receiver is usually behind them. He telegraphs every pass that he throws, you know, and there's been, I don't know how many games so far this year where you can see there's guys wide open on the other side of the field that are, you know, like with nothing in front of them, but, you know, daylight, and he's throwing in the traffic, you know?
Dave, thanks for the call. Listen, I don't know if I would agree with you where, well, you mentioned the backup quarterback. I've got no interest in seeing Tyson Bajan out there. I just don't.
I don't either.
Why? Because Caleb Williams, from a talent standpoint, can run circles around him. And just understanding the offense per se, then you get into being a game manager. But can he make the throws? Like, Caleb with his arm strength can make a lot of throws that a lot of starting quarterbacks around the NFL cannot make, right? Like, I can go back and remember a pretty good game against the Dallas Cowboys where Caleb Williams threw for 298 yards and four touchdowns. And like I said, he is going to have games where he's not going to be best, and it's offensively he's still learning, but I'm asking for the details. I'm asking that you just be ready to go. And like I said, it looked disjointed and disconnected from the jump. That's where you need to be your sharpest to set the tone, especially against a team like the Saints, because bad teams will forget that they're bad teams if you let them hang around. And to see that become a 20-14 game, that's where you hit your, oh God, oh God, here we go. Here we go again. But thank goodness for the run game, because the passing game didn't have it, and the run game certainly did. Let's hear from head coach Ben Johnson, a rookie head coach who's won 4 in a row. The Bears are 4-2. Here's Ben in full after the game.
So in terms of injuries there, I think we had two guys that didn't make it out of that one, and that was Tyreek. He had a shoulder, and Cole had a back. So we'll see where they're at tomorrow. I think this game really started and finished there with our defense. They just did a phenomenal job throughout. When you look at those critical numbers, it was 44 yards rushing. I saw 4 sacks and 4 turnovers, and I just thought, credit to Dennis Allen and his crew one more time. They're doing a great job getting us the ball on offense with great field position, and it certainly gives us a ton of momentum in games like that. And so they just did an awesome job. Offensively, the 200 yards rushing, I think both ball carriers ran violent, but huge credit to our offensive line and the tight ends in that core blocking unit, because you could feel that line of scrimmage move at times, and our backs were finding the holes. So that was really the name of the game there. A lot that we can clean up and we can improve. That's always a good thing. We'll coach these guys hard, and we'll turn our page onto Baltimore soon after this. Open it up.
With the running game, how satisfying is it to have come out of the bye week with answers and found something there that's giving some life?
Yeah, no, I think we've been pretty consistent with that message, that it was just going to take a little bit of time to get our O-line on the same page and feel good about their fits and their combinations, and I think that's starting to come together. You accumulate the reps over the course of camp, and through these first 5 games going into the 6th one here, and I think you really see it start to come to life a little bit. So credit to them. I feel really good. They're really well coached. Dan Roschar, Kyle DeVan, they do phenomenal jobs, and they've been very consistent with that crew. It's a prideful group. Obviously, they want to protect the quarterback in the passing game, and they want to be able to run for 200 every week in the running game. So really proud of what that looked like today.
You had several red zone trips today that didn't result in touchdowns or field goals. What do you think was the problem that prevented you all from getting those 7 points instead of the
play? We'll have to take a look at it. Hey, I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Coach, these turnovers, it's consistent. It's weekly now. It's not like just some once in a while type of thing. What do you most contribute to how the defense is taking the ball away?
Yeah, I think, they come in bunches. And these guys, we got a method in place of how we want to practice it. Dennis does a great job with instilling that confidence in those guys, putting them in the right spot. When the ball touches their hands, they're coming down with it. We really don't have many drops on that side of the ball. They're very conscious of it when it's a running play to try to punch at that ball and get it out. And so, it's just really working for us right now. And really our team needs it. I mean, it's it's really been the foundation of this last four game stretch for us.
And Deshaun's takeaway seemed to be the spark early for you. What did you see both on the interception and then the return? And obviously, you good.
Which one?
Deshaun's.
Yeah. Reception. Oh yeah. Yeah, it was a great catch. And then we've really been emphasizing, because we've been getting all these, is how do we turn these into to whether it's in scoring range or getting in the end zone ourselves on defense. And so all of our guys are taking a ton of pride in getting connected after an interception like that and looking to make key blocks so that we can extend that. I thought Shawnee hopped on up and was really, I thought he was going to go down once or twice, and he just kept on going. So you might have to give him the ball a little bit on offense as well.
And you talked about the discipline, the details, the things you want to play up, but striking that balance of doing that, you know, what's your message to the team afterwards in terms of looking ahead and getting those things right?
Yeah, I think that's the benefit of when you win, you know, you can usually coach a little bit harder. And so we're always truth tellers on Monday in particular. And when it's good, we'll tell them when it's good. When it's bad, we'll tell them what we got to clean up. And so there's a number of things there today that we can get better at.
You see a little reversion, I'm following up to that question, in terms of some of the sloppiness overall.
Say it again.
Some of the sloppiness, did you see a little bit of reverting back to some of the issues that you guys...
No, I would say I was hopeful that game six we would play cleaner football than that.
Any sense of what happened on the fourth and goal? There was a missed exchange, but then it was a false start.
Yeah, they blew it dead, false start, so moved us back and ended up kicking.
Do you know what happened with Caleb and Drew there?
No.
Supposedly it was just the two drives for the defense wrapped around halftime that kind of let the get away. How disappointing was that when you guys were dominating the game and looking to go into halftime?
Yeah, I mean, I put the before half on us offensively as much as is giving up that big play on defense. You know, we had that three and out. We had control of possessing that ball before halftime, and we didn't do a good enough job. I think that's 2 weeks in a row there. We've had a three and out before halftime, something that we practice, something that we really stress, and we're not getting the job done there. So we put the defense in a bad spot. I thought we limited their explosives throughout that day, except for the one before halftime that resulted in points for them. So, and then, you know, out of halftime, I thought we had some chances, and we just couldn't stop them. But beyond those two drives, I thought the defense played some of the best ball we played all year.
You guys took the ball to start the game, so they got it back after the half. You guys have been getting out pretty early in these first quarters, and the Saints were struggling defensively in the first quarter coming into this game. Was that kind of the thinking? It didn't really play out that way. Was that the thinking when you took the ball?
No, it's weather-related. You know, it's a windy day, so I want to be able to control in the second half which way we're going.
How do you view the overall trajectory offensively through six games now?
Yeah, up and down. So that's what we've looked like. We haven't hit our stride yet offensively. We're capable of a lot more. We have very talented individuals. I feel strongly in our coaching staff. But we're not complementing our defense on a regular basis. With the number of turnovers we've had over the last four games, we should be able to turn those into more points.
What has to click? What are you seeing that if this clicks, it'll level out, it'll be a lot smoother?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of things. And so that's something we'll look at on the tape and see what we got to clean up. You know, we still have the false starts. You know, the good thing was the running game was working. The passing game wasn't nearly efficient enough for us here today.
Dennis downplayed the significance of facing his former team today. But from your perspective, what's your appreciation for four turnovers, the defense doing what it did, and Dennis's unit being part of the win?
Yeah, I mean, he certainly led the charge there. We don't win that game if they don't play that well. They just did an outstanding job, and you know, kind of felt it over the course of the week there with the two practices that we were able to get in that schematically he had some really good thoughts that we're going to put some stress there on the offense, and you know, I thought that the defense, they knew where to be, they knew what they were looking for, and it was huge.
Then before seeing the tape, how do you sense that Caleb played just from experience in the offense?
Yeah, hard to say off the cuff. You know, you just go off the numbers and you know, like I said, we weren't efficient enough in the passing game. So we'll see why that was.
Go ahead, Jason. When you see him scrambling around quite a bit in the pocket, is that what you want him doing in those situations, those 10 to 12 second plays, or do you need something more decisive, quicker than that?
But no, we design a play to work through the progression, and if he feels pressure, then that's when – he looks to move on from there. And so, you know, I'll go back, I'll look at that. I don't feel like we've had a ton of those up until today. I know we had maybe two or three more of those today than what I've normally felt. So we'll see what was the reason why and what can we do better. But, you know, the broken down plays in general through six games, I don't think it's given us the yardage that we would like.
Had a pretty significant challenge that you won there. What was the process of, you know, getting to the point of dropping that play?
Yeah, we got a good replay booth upstairs, and so they're getting footage, and, you know, it looked really, really close. We felt like it was close enough to be forward from the couple of angles that we got. Really good communication on the headset with that, and the fact that their offense wasn't going super fast gave us plenty of time to make sure we were exhausting all avenues.
And we've talked about DeAndre in recent weeks. As a coach, how satisfying is it for you to see a guy like that be rewarded for kind of his head-down effort that he gives you all the time?
Yeah, I think that's all of our guys. You just keep going back to work. When things go your way, you go back to work. When things are hard, you go back to work. That's really the answer for everything, and that's what we're going to continue to do as a team. But to your point, Swifty has done a great job here these last 2 weeks. You know, we're at the point of the season now where no one feels 100% anymore, you know, and that's what it's going to be the rest of the way. None of those guys feel great. Their bodies don't feel good. And yet you still show up and you find a way to be there for your teammate next to you. And Swifty certainly exemplifies that.
And was Grady Jarrett close today, or what went into that decision?
We'll see. You know, we got him back there in practice. That was Friday, right? And so, we'll see what it looks like next week is in terms of his availability for next Sunday.
But why not today?
Because he wasn't ready.
You're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Judson Richards along with you. That was Ben Johnson after the game. And a number of things that was discussed. I did think it was interesting when he took the ball to begin the game instead of, you know, when they won the coin toss, instead of taking in the second half, you thought, well, maybe this is because the Saints have been so woeful getting stops early on in the game that the Bears would want to take the lead immediately. But Ben Johnson said no, it had to do with the wind at Soldier Field. I don't think it was overly windy. It was 52 degrees, kind of wet, somewhat windy. But Ben Johnson wanted to be able to control the direction that they went in the second half because of the wind. Thought that was interesting. Ben Johnson also said, yeah, I thought we would be a lot further along with a lot of the penalties that they've had, more false starts. The Bears, 10 penalties, 92 yards versus the Saints, who had just 5 penalties that totaled 30 yards. We can get back to the phones. 312-644-6767. Nick is with us in Warrenville, wants to talk about Caleb Williams. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Regarding Caleb, I think he's had some really great games, some not so great games. You know, nothing so bad where I think he can't develop and be a very useful part of Ben Johnson's offense.
I agreed. Mean,
he showed he's a very talented guy skill wise. Overall, I mean, he's certainly more competent than a lot of Bears quarterbacks in the past. So, first and foremost, I'm grateful for that, but I'm not entirely convinced yet that, you know, sky is the limit with him, like a lot of people are hoping, including myself.
Same here, yeah.
So I was just kind of thinking, I'm like, my question is just totally hypothetical. You know, what do you think Caleb might be worth, like, on the trade market? In other words, what do other teams think of him, what he's done, where he's at, where they think he can go? I mean, I was thinking kind of similar to the QB swap we saw with Jared Goff and Matt Stafford a few years ago, and I know there was some picks involved in that, but, like, what do you think we could get for Caleb if, hypothetically, you know, he didn't fit this offense or he wanted out for some reason? I'm not saying we should trade him, but I'm just trying to kind of, put a valuation on him by what other teams think of him.
Well, what do you think he's worth, Nick?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's, you know, if you look at the top, say, 8 quarterbacks in the league, I'm not sure another team would just give up somebody like Justin Herbert. I don't think he would, you know, they would just say, hey, this Caleb Williams fits our scheme, so we're going to swap for Justin Herbert. I mean, I think Justin Herbert's a more elite quarterback. So I'm kind of trying to find, like, where do people think Caleb lands right now?
Nick, thanks for the phone call. You know, it's interesting over the last few years with how many, I wouldn't even call them retreads, but, you know, quarterbacks that you thought a team missed on them, and then they actually went on to have successful seasons. Let's take Baker Mayfield, what he's doing with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, Jared Goff somewhat looked like that was a throwaway, and the Detroit Lions were doing Matthew Stafford a favor of just kind of setting him free of whatever had happened there in the past for him in Detroit. And then you've got Sam Darnold with his resurgence with the Minnesota Vikings, and now I think somewhat success with the Seattle Seahawks. Certainly getting a big payday, which Sam Darnold probably never thought he was going to get after he was a backup to Brock Purdy in San Francisco. But Nick, to your point, I can promise you this. They will never get a number one overall pick for Caleb Williams, meaning they will never get as much as they spent on Caleb Williams, so you may as well try to develop him. And you, by the way, and you also won't find anyone that has the projection of what he has coming out of college, right? 61% completion percentage is not good for Caleb this year. But if you're willing to say, I'm going to give him time to learn, or I recognize he's on his second offensive coordinator, then you have to mirror those things a little bit together. If you're going to say, I know there could be some bumps in the road to get there, well, those bumps in the road perhaps may portray a 61% completion percentage with what Caleb is going through right now. We can continue the conversation about Caleb. You want to talk about him? 312-644-6767. But I will also tell you this. It is important that the Bears can win games without just relying on their quarterback, right? Like, isn't that really what you want in an NFL football team, where it isn't just living and dying by every single throw that your quarterback makes, because he's going to have off days? Like, if that was the case, the Bears don't beat the Saints. But the Bears' defense had four takeaways, and the running game added up to 222 yards, including a touchdown for DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai. That's pretty impressive. We'll keep the Bears conversation going. Hour number two coming up next on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.